Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now, next Monday is Memorial Day, and we're ending the show today and tomorrow with a nod to the big anniversary we're in this month, the end of World War II in Europe, VE Day, as it's known, our victory over the Nazis, which was officially May 8th, 1945. That's 75 years ago this month. We started this miniseries yesterday. Let's remember 1945 and more now, with our guest for all three of these days, historian Kenneth C. Davis, author of the Don't Know Much About series of history books, both for grown-ups and for kids. He even published a book in 2018 called More Deadly Than War, The Hidden History of the Spanish Flu and World War I. But we'll start again today around the end of World War II. Hi, Ken. Thanks for coming back on WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. It was a pleasure to join you.
And we talked yesterday about where Hitler and Roosevelt were when the war in Europe ended, both dead just weeks earlier. What about the third and fourth major players, Stalin and Mussolini?
Well, Stalin was, of course, alive and well and celebrating the fall of Germany and raising the hammer and sickle flag over Berlin early in May also. And it's, again, Americans don't know much about history to begin with, but we certainly don't know a lot about the role that Russia played in World War II. Certainly as a kid growing up in that generation that followed World War II, whether we're called baby boomers or not, the whole role of the Soviet Union in World War II was really eradicated because we were already in the midst of the next war, the Cold War, and we didn't want to spend too much time talking about what the Russians did. But the Russian losses in what they called the Great War, the Great Patriotic War, are extraordinary. Tens of millions of Russians, both soldiers and civilians, had been lost in what was, you know, by far the most brutal combat of World War II, the fight between Hitler's armies and the Soviet Union in battles like Stalingrad and Leningrad. So that was, you know, really a piece of the history that got left out of this, and one of the reasons why history is, you know, viewed very differently in the former Soviet Union, Russia today, than it is in the United States. And of course, Mussolini, I think I mentioned yesterday, was also dead. He had died 2 days before Hitler. He was executed by Italian partisans. His body rather infamously hung upside down outside a gas station in Milan, a rather grisly photo. So again, this extraordinary period from April 12th when FDR dies to the 30th when Hitler commits suicide, three of the towering figures, of course the other survivor and key figure was Winston Churchill, and he was the one who got to speak in London on VE Day to an extraordinarily large crowd. The King and the Queen were both there, and all of Great Britain was in ecstasy. Sure. Of course, similar scenes in Times Square in New York. VE Day in 1945 was extraordinary.
What was it like in New York or around the U.S. when VE Day finally came?
Well, you can go back and look at those pictures. I think it's the famous pictures of the Eisenstadt picture, I suppose, of the sailor kissing kissing that woman in Times Square, and people were deliriously happy. This had been a long, hard slog, but we also have to remember that was only one of two wars that was going on, and the other war was definitely still going on in the Pacific against the Japanese. And in fact, while America is celebrating VE Day, some of the worst battles of the Pacific are taking place in places like Iwo Jima and Guadalcanal, Okinawa. These all were happening in April and May of 1945 as the United States then continued this long, hard, step-by-step process of taking each of these islands that was a stepping stone towards the eventual presumed invasion of Japan, an invasion that was not necessary in the end, of course, because of dropping the atomic bomb.
You told me off the air that a sense of grief, however, came soon after that euphoric scene in Times Square and the one in the UK. Why and in what form?
Well, remember that this was a war. We've not experienced war in our lifetimes, Brian, obviously, like this war was for our parents' generation, where everyone was involved in the war effort. The same thing had been true in World War I. These were wars where the whole nation had been mobilized to fight the war, and the war effort was all that really counted in America. And you had many, many people who had gold stars hanging in their windows. The gold star families were obviously those families who'd lost a family member in the war. So this moment of jubilation is tempered by the fact that there have been these extraordinary losses, a total of about 400,000 American service members died in World War II. But you also have the tempering, as I just mentioned, of the war going on in Japan, in many ways a more brutal, more deadly war, and one that would continue for weeks and months.
So FDR dies in April. We officially defeat the Nazis in May. E-Day, 3 months later, would come VJ Day, victory over Japan, but not until we dropped two nuclear bombs on them. Did Truman have that in mind when he inherited the presidency?
Well, he knew that there was a Manhattan Project that was known about, but he didn't really know what that was. And it's not until he becomes president on Roosevelt's death that he learns about the atomic bomb. And yes, they were going to, but it still hadn't been tested yet. So, you know, the certainty of its being ready for use and whether it would work were still unclear right up until fairly early in the summertime of 1945. Just one other thing, Brian, because it is Memorial Day coming up, there's a really poignant moment in 1945, 75 years ago, that I wanted to, I came across the other day.
And we've got about general, 40 seconds left, Ken. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is a general named Lucian Truscott, a familiar name to maybe to New Yorkers. He dedicated the cemetery in Italy, in Sicily, on Memorial Day in 1945. And instead of speaking to the audience, he turned his back on the audience and spoke to the dead soldiers. And he apologized to them. It must have been an extraordinary moment. If the name sounds familiar, his grandson, Lucian Truscott IV, wrote a novel called Dress Gray about West Point and a murder. But it's an extraordinary moment that reminds us about what Memorial Day is really about, supreme loss.
And we will wrap up this pre-Memorial Day series with historian Kenneth C. Davis tomorrow at this time. Ken, thanks a lot.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Brian.